Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Anyone like to address council on any item?
Excuse me, Mr. Spears, I'd like to address the council here, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Actually, I'd like to do it uninterrupted, if possible.
Oh, yay. It had been such a nice meeting to that point. Okay, so the Milton Work Session, which is the kind of like, you might think of that as the agenda review or the committee meeting. It still cracks me up how all these, there's no standardized formula for how all meetings work in all these, you know, municipalities and counties. They just all do their own thing, which is fine. It's fine. It doesn't make it impossible for a talk show host who covers two counties like me. Anyway, so Ed Snow, city manager for the city of Milton, asks if anybody else wants to talk. Mike Cusack, pick me. Oh, Mr. Conte, pick me. And he says, and do not interrupt me. This is bound to be good news, right? Okay.
Anyone like to address council?
Sorry, that's the same clip. Let me get the right clip here. Here we go. Here we go. Mike Cusack, city council member.
One of the situations I wanted to address, unfortunately, he has stepped away. So I'll just read verbatim. At 2:52 p.m. this past Sunday, Mr. Snow was observed stalking my home. I have come to find out that he then posted a video on social media giving out my name, my picture, and showing the world where I live in Milton. Now, because of his irresponsible and morally bankrupt actions, perhaps letting an unstable and potentially dangerous individual know who I am and where we live is unbelievable.
So, before we go any farther, you might ask, what is the nature of this horrible, terrible, awful video that City Councilman Jeff Snow, who is running for re-election and being challenged by former City Councilman, my brain. I can see him. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. It'll come to me in the middle of me playing other clips. Jeff Snow, who was stalking the councilman. Here's the video. And since you can't see it, Jeff, it's a campaign video. And Jeff is walking along a fence towards a corner, okay, like a wood fence, and talking. And eventually he gets to the corner, and you can see that it's a house that's got a bunch of campaign signs in it. Turns out to be Mike Cusack's house, I guess. Although, I guess he says that's where it is, and then later on in the video he kind of shows, and there, I mean, like there's a street sign in the video. It's not emphasized, but it's kind of there. So as far as like showing where his house is, I guess, and if you know Milton well enough, you might know. Of course, you know, public officials' addresses are typically in the, you know, lying with their phone number and their emails along is in their documents and they saw for running. But okay, so fine. Okay, so here's what he actually says in the video.
Everyone, this is Jeff Snow with the Milton City Council. In this November, we have an important election coming up. You have four incumbents, and then you have four candidates running against those incumbents. So here we have Mike Cusack, who is a city council member that was elected 2 years ago, and he's already been found guilty of sabotaging the hiring of the city manager and pled guilty in a misdemeanor to ethics violations with the state ethics board.
More on the accuracy of that later, but okay, so he's at Mike Cusack's house and he's showing you the yard signs of the four challengers to the four incumbents, Jeff Snow, Matt Jarrett, Roxanne Meese, and Casey Powell. Went right on. I had it and then went right out again. Robert Leak is the former city councilman who's challenging Jeff Snow. Whew. Oh, keeping track of all these things in my head. Okay, so Jeff Snow continues in the aforementioned alleged video of stalking unbelievableness.
So my question to you, citizens, the four incumbents have no ethics charges, and these individuals condone and think it's okay, apparently, to have that support from him and have never made a comment against what they have done. Or continue to do.
So what he's getting at or trying to make the claim is that these four people, Larry McKee, Tom Powers, Robert Leak, and Ashley Frightwell, I have the support of Mike Cusack, who is part of the minority of the 6-2 minority, along with Heather Lindsay, who is a ceremonial tiebreaker only, Mayor Heather Lindsay. He and Marilyn Farrow are the two. And the alignment is you've got the Pitchfork Posse, Heather Lindsay. Pitchfork Posse is not Heather Lindsay, but the Mayor Heather Lindsay, the Pitchfork Posse people, the concerned citizens for Milton, Blackwater, Save Our River, various versions of all this, and then Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow on the one side, and then those four candidates on the one side, hoping to retake a majority on city council and presumably fire Ed Spears and, at the very least, Ed Spears and Alex Andrade, among other things, and then control the direction of the city council going forward. And, of course, the incumbents want to keep their seats and retain the 6-2 majority that they have right now. Okay, so finally, Jeff Snow, again, just so you know what happens in the video.
The one thing I will say about integrity with the four incumbents is that they always have followed the law. They are ethics free, and they've always done what's right for the city of Milton.
I think he meant ethics violation free. I don't think he meant to say ethics free.
And they stand for law and order. So again, citizens, do you want a city council that stands for law and order, or do you want others that condone breaking the law and not following the law?
All right, so that was the nature of the, again, alleged stalking video that was showing Mike Cusack's residence, not particularly focusing on the address, although I think you could figure it out if you wanted to figure it out, but you could have figured it out anyway. So back to Mike Cusack at the city council meeting, who is now complaining about this video and saying that an unstable person could use this video and do something against him or his family, I presume, but he'll go into that.
Because of what he did, my disabled senior citizen wife now is in total fear. She now is hesitant to even sit on the front porch where she enjoys being, fearing for her safety. His abhorrent behavior in posting this video to get reelected, I assume that the purpose was to get reelected, is absolutely disgusting.
Well, it seemed to me like the purpose was to point out the sides and that they are aligned with Mike Cusack, who had this ethics violation. He said misdemeanor. That's not accurate. We'll get to that in a second. So Mike Cusack feels threatened and feels like his family's being threatened by this.
I have spoken to Chief Tyndall about our safety concerns and have asked for his department to keep a watchful eye out. He isn't going to increase patrol in front of my home because of this situation.
So what do the other city council members think of this? That's where Mike Cusack was going is, and you have to remember that if you're familiar with watching like Pensacola City Council meetings or Escambia County Commission meetings, or even I dare say Santa Rosa County Commission meetings, or any of the other sort of, Milton's just different. And one of the differences is that despite continuing to try to reform the process of having these meetings, there's still a very informal air about the meetings and the idea of one city council member being able to just go around the room and demand other city council members to answer questions is a part of the charm of Milton that, you know, things are not exactly Robert's Rules of Orders tight. Nevertheless, I actually kind of like the fact that things are a little bit more informal because sometimes you get more honest conversation. Okay, so Mike Cusack is, you know, completely incensed about this and thinks that his family is in jeopardy and his wife is scared, which is horrible that anybody would be afraid of what somebody might do, let alone a politician, a politician's wife, or anybody else. But that's what he says. So here we go.
Let me go around and let me ask my fellow council members if any of them would have an issue if the same thing happened to them and if they think what he did was appropriate. Ms. Sebastian?
I don't have an issue with it. I am a city councilwoman, 24/7, 7 days a week. We all know that we are in the public eye. There is always the chance. And if you don't think that the citizens or anyone can't look you up and find out where you live, it is so easy. I can tell you that because by doing these reports that I've had to do, every time I have to look up somebody that gives me a donation, I have to pull their information up online to get their addresses. So it is super, super easy to find anyone's address. If they want to know where you live, they're going to find out where you live. So I don't have a problem with somebody walking by my house, videoing and
talking. Oh, so you're okay with that?
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, so she says, look, it's easily available. Everybody knows where I live. This is part of the life of a city councilman or woman. And so no big deal, she says. Gavin Hawthorne, he's not up for re-election. He's one of the newer folks that came on the board, but here goes.
Kevin, your opinion?
I don't know what his intentions are, obviously, but to me, if it was me, I would feel a certain way. I wouldn't fear for my life, one, because like Shari said, our records are all public, where we live, our phone numbers, everything. So if somebody wanted to find you, they would have been found you already.
So if they were video.
But, however, to answer your question, no, I don't think it was right. I don't, because when I understand it's an election season and it's gotten real ugly, as I can see just from being a bystander, and just obviously I don't get into it because I'm not on either side. I'm on City of Milton side and Cavan side, and that's it.
Yeah, and it has long been pretty ugly between these two sides, and this is reflected in the city. And by the way, I've always thought it was interesting that in Milton, if you drive around Milton, you absolutely can tell who's on which side. Now, maybe not as easily identified with who's, you know, like the incumbent, like, you know, Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow, because they're not actually up for re-election, or Heather Lindsay. They were all elected this last time around 2 years ago. But the four who are up versus the four challengers, the signs are always clustered together. It is as if they were Republicans and Democrats. I mean, it's very easy to tell who's on, you know, Team A or Team B, right? Team incumbent or team challenger. Okay, back to Gavin Hawthorne, city council member.
However, whenever somebody wants to get reelected, they're going to do whatever it takes. And that's just the way it is. However, it's how you feel is how you feel. I'm not in your position, so I can't vouch for you. But if it was done to me and it was somebody that I didn't like, or I had a, you know, somebody that, say, I didn't agree with 99% of the time, or maybe had a personal vendetta against, or had some type of tension, then yeah, I would feel a certain way then.
And by the way, if you don't speak the language of the modern generation, feel a certain way means be upset about. It took me a while to, and I'm not like in this conversation, but just over time, I heard people start to say that, and I thought, what's a weird euphemism? But that's what that means. You know, you're upset about it, you're furious about it, you're angry about it, you're scared, whatever. I would feel a certain way. That's just kind of the, I don't know, one of these weird little modern expressions that people are using. Okay, so Gavin Hawthorne continues, and I think it's important to hear Gavin Hawthorne's view on this, because Gavin is not really aligned one way or the other. He tends to vote with the six, with the five, I should say. But he's been a little bit more aligned with them over time because the other side, the two, and Heather Lindsay have been really doing such silly things many times. But he kind of started off being the swing vote. Not that it mattered much because it was 5-2, but still kind of started off being a swing vote. And, you know, I like Gavin. Gavin seems to be a pretty straight-up guy, and, you know, he says what he thinks. And I think he's hitting both sides here, you know. Like, it's legal. It's certainly not a violation of any law for somebody to walk along the street and put a video up. He certainly didn't say anything about a threat or anything like that. It's, you know, sort of taken that way. But as Gavin says, they are enemies, political enemies. And, you know, and when I first heard about the video, I thought, oh, that does sound kind of weird. Why would Jeff do that? And then I watched it, and I'm like, oh, well, that's why he's doing it. Because he's trying to say, you know, if you support ethics violator Mike Cusack, he agreed to that with the Ethics Commission. And what's $1,500, I think, if I remember correctly. Anyway, so if you support him or believe in him and they are he's for them, then sort of, you know, the endorsement transitive property would seem to be like, they are the ones who are aligned, and that's what he's trying to point out. Anyway, back to Gavin Hawthorne, just give him his final say on this.
However, if, you know, I'm apologize for the fear that you have in, you know, your wife.
It's disheartening. It really is, because right. I now have to look when I go outside. I look around, see if there's anybody sitting across the street looking. I'm just saying. I mean, my main concern is my wife. She's disabled, and now she's afraid.
Yeah, and I hear your concern, Mike. I really do. So, and again, just to answer your question, I would feel a certain way depending on that person.
Okay.
And again, to me, you know, like I always think of, like, if it were me, right? If it were me and somebody was out there talking about my, like, walking in front of my house and showing some campaign signs and talking about me, would I love that? No. I mean, I wouldn't love it. Would I feel threatened? It would depend on what they said and who they were. Would I feel the need to be scared every time I walked outside the house? Probably not. Especially if I were, you know, an elected city official where my residence is already well known. But I sympathize with what Gavin is saying that, you know, look, if she feels a way, she feels a way. And nobody wants somebody's wife to be involved in all this and have to feel like they're scared when they're on their house. They should be able to sit on their porch and do whatever they want, right? So do I love what Jeff Snow did? I don't. Do I think that he did something fundamentally wrong? Also, no. Okay. Is it marginal? Yeah. Could the point have been made another way? Yeah. I mean, you could have just gone to a cluster of signs and said, hey, these are the four people, and I know from seeing Mike Cusack's house, for example. You know, you could say that. There's all kinds of ways to do it without the vividness of actually showing his house, I suppose. So, you know, is it a reason to be scared? No. Is it a reason to apologize? I don't know. Jeff wasn't there. They acted like he left, but I'm not. I didn't see whether he left or wasn't there the whole time. So, anyway, that's your part one. Because, John, what do we always know about the Milton City Council Melodrama Theater?
There's more coming.
There's always multiple scenes. That's yes. Right. There are multiple acts, and today will be no different. More later at 6:10. I'm Andrew McKay.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wait, you get looking. You're hot.
It's like looking in a mirror, only not.
Before there was hair bands, there was Sweet. It's 5 to 9 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the astronaut that was hospitalized after splashing down in the Gulf on Friday morning is now reportedly back on their feet. NASA officials say astronauts Matthew Dominic, Michael Barrett, Jeanette Epps, and a Russian colleague all underwent post-flight medical checks after their SpaceX capsule splashed down right off the Pensacola coast on Friday. One of the crew members was in the hospital here briefly. That astronaut was not identified but has now been cleared to join their crewmates for post-flight reconditioning in Texas. Former President Trump is continuing his push for the White House. He held a big rally last night at Madison Square Garden in New York City. That place looked like it was packed to the rafters.
No kidding.
House Speaker Mike Johnson, Elon Musk, Melania Trump, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. all spoke at the event. And the company that owns Waymo says it's pumping billions of dollars into a robo-taxi service. Alphabet, the parent company of Google, announced on Friday it had just closed a $5.6 billion funding round. The company is hoping to expand Waymo beyond Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Phoenix.
So, we're going to get Waymo robot taxis?
I wouldn't trust it, but maybe. I don't know. I hope not.
I'm good with it.
That's the joke, though, right?
Right.
We're going to get way more of them.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, good.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Former President Trump speaks today in front of faith leaders in suburban Atlanta before holding a rally at Georgia Tech, but last night a rousing reception in Deep Blue, New York City.
Kamala, you're fired. Get out. Get out.
Fox's Brooke Singman was on hand at Madison Square Garden.
Former President Donald Trump taking the stage at MSG, making a bold final pitch to tens of thousands of voters in the Deep Blue state, which included a promise to bring back the American dream. Trump also celebrating the Republican Party becoming a party of inclusion after receiving support from voters in traditionally Democrat voting blocks.
Vice President Harris stops in Saginaw in Macomb County plus Ann Arbor in Michigan today, while former President Obama delivered remarks at a Harris campaign rally in Philadelphia. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got clear skies and it is 65 degrees in Pensacola. One man has died, another in critical condition. This is after a crash on Saturday night. It happened on I-10 near the exit to Scenic Highway. FHP says the driver lost control of his vehicle, then hit a concrete wall while going around a curve. The vehicle then spun into the ditch and the passenger was ejected. The 62-year-old driver was taken to Sacred Heart Hospital in critical condition. The 68-year-old passenger passed away at the scene of the crash. An investigation is now ongoing after a crash involving several teenagers in Okaloosa County on Friday. It happened on Highway 98 at Emerald Coast Parkway. Officials say the accident involved a rollover. One vehicle reportedly caught on fire. There were multiple people taken to a local hospital on trauma alert. One person was flown to Sacred Heart in Pensacola. None of the victims have been identified, but a statement from Destin High School principal Dr. Diane Kelly says one of the teens was a student at her school. Several others were students in South Walton. Well, Governor DeSantis was in Escambia County on Friday. He was spreading his message against Amendment 3. He says there's a big question you have to ask.
How did this get on your ballot? It's an interesting question because it doesn't just come out of thin air. Was this driven by citizens throughout Florida who really wanted to write this? No, it was not. This amendment was written by the CEO of a major marijuana company.
And the governor says that that CEO would be violating their fiduciary duty if they wrote the amendment to be good for the state and not to, quote, monetize it. He went on to say that he believes the amendment isn't about freedom, as it wouldn't allow Floridians to grow their own weed. They'd still have to purchase it from the companies that he described as a cartel. Marco Rubio says the U.S. is still feeling the effects of our withdrawal from Afghanistan. Senator Rubio was on Fox News Sunday yesterday. He says the world is in total chaos. You can link it all the way back to the day the U.S. pulled out of Afghanistan. Rubio said it was humiliating and signaled to the world that America was weak. He said it's no coincidence that since then there's been the invasion of Ukraine, October 7th, global shipping disruptions in the Red Sea, China harassing the Philippines and planning to invade Taiwan. He also discussed the upcoming election during that appearance. Well, there was an incident in Miami-Dade County showing just how tense the election season is. Senator Rick Scott visited the West Kendall Regional Library there yesterday to meet voters. His Democrat challenger, Debbie Mercosell Powell, Some of her supporters also showed up, and supporters on both sides got into a shouting match. NBC6 reports police had to intervene to keep the peace. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was arrested during that incident. And it is 534 News Radio 92.3. Taking a look at our weather. Looks like it should be another nice day. High up in the 80s again today. Right now it's 65 degrees in Pensacola, 66 in Gulf Breeze, and it is 61 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices slid after Israel's missile strikes on Iran over the weekend. Futures for the global crude benchmark Brent slid to $72.75 a barrel, while West Texas Intermediate futures dropped to $68.52 per barrel. United Steelworkers President David McCall is making a final push ahead of November's election to stress why union leadership opposes a Japanese takeover of U.S. Steel. McCall has vowed to spend the next 13 days discussing his concerns, which include that there's no guarantee the Japanese producer will keep union jobs years down the line, and its promised investments may not be all they're cracked up to be. McDonald's is bringing the Quarter Pounder burger back to restaurants affected by an E. coli outbreak this coming week. Health authorities have stated the burger's onions, rather than its fresh beef patties, are the likely source of the outbreak. Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 259. That's Your Money Now.
The weather's cooling down, but Gulf Breeze Natural Gas is ready to warm things up when you convert to a natural gas water heater, fireplace, or outdoor fire pit. Not to mention how much better your cooking recipes will taste this fall with a natural gas cooktop. Call 850-934-5108 or visit gulfbreezenaturalgas.com to learn more about service installation and appliance rebates. Gulf Breeze Natural Gas. Your style, your comfort, your energy.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
That's my timer letting me know that it's time to check the Slow Smoke Barbecue at Sonny's. It's also a reminder that it's time to book your holiday party or catering. We love to serve your business or organization a delicious prime rib to celebrate all your hard work with catering from our four locations serving the greater Pensacola area. We also have banquet rooms at our Navy Boulevard and 9th Avenue locations. And speaking of the holidays, give the gift of barbecue and a convenience of a gift card. Sweet and smoky ribs sure do make a mess of those Christmas stockings. Go to sonnysbarbecue.com to find your nearest location and all the details on our holiday catering services.
More than just a location, the Port of Pensacola is a thriving economic engine and a strategic gateway fueling growth and prosperity across Northwest Florida. Since 1754, it's become the cornerstone of the region's economic vitality, with over 20 dynamic businesses calling it home, including major players like Cemex Materials, General Electric Verona's Wind Energy, Offshore Inland Marine, Pete Stevedore, and the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Discover the possibilities at portofpensacola.com.
Guy Benson.
There is a discernible shift, it would seem, toward Donald Trump, where he is now leading in a number of these national polls.
Guy Benson, weekdays at 2.
And the Real Clear Politics average nationally is almost exactly tied. The swing states are looking extremely tight, but maybe with a little red tilt.
Guy Benson, weekdays at 2, before Pensacola right now. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you. Please be seated. It's great to be back in Escambia County. You guys have managed to steer clear of these more recent hurricanes over the last few years. I know you're very well prepared, and I'm glad things are going well here.
Why would you mention that out loud? Dude, I thought you studied law. You didn't study the law of jinx? Okay, anyway, it doesn't really have anything to do with anything. But okay, so... you know, yeah, we've managed to miss him. Thanks for noticing out loud, Mr. Governor.
So we're here to discuss one of the proposed constitutional amendments that are going to be on your ballot, this Amendment 3.
Yeah, so this is the marijuana amendment. This is, and he's going to have a lot to say about this. This is on Friday, of course, at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
My view on these amendments is you should never amend the Constitution lightly. So as a voter, your default should start as no. They really, whoever's proposing it, has a high burden to show you or to prove to you why this would somehow be a good thing to put in a constitution. And
well, that seems like a very reasonable way to think about the amendments, that your default answer should be no, and that someone should have to really go above and beyond to prove to you that something is a good idea before you vote for it. Where have I heard that before? You know, that's exactly right. That's what I've been telling you every single time we talk about these amendments for years. You should always say no to amendments unless you absolutely have to say yes. And you can be sure that it's well-formed, that it's rightly phrased, written perfectly, basically, and that it needs to be done in the Constitution and shouldn't be drawn through regular legislation, which is how the vast majority of these things should be done. So the governor's exactly right about this.
Keep in mind, when it's in the Constitution, if things go bad, you can't. I saw some of the legislators here. You can't just tell your legislature, hey, fix it, because you can't legislate changes to a constitutional provision.
That's exactly right. That's exactly because they are almost impossible to change. In fact, interestingly, this one is a change. That's what's kind of fascinating about this. This one changes the medical marijuana constitutional amendment that we passed several years ago by changing a couple of words and adding in the stuff that it's adding about personal consumption amounts. By the way, as a side note, because I read the actual changes to the Constitution that this would bring in if it got passed, if Amendment 3 got passed, I noticed one that I had not seen before. In the medical marijuana amendment to the Constitution, Section C2 reads, "Nothing in this section shall affect or repeal laws relating to non-medical use, possession, production, or sale of marijuana." Meaning that when we passed medical marijuana, we specifically had a provision that said this doesn't relate to personal consumption amounts of marijuana. That's not changed by this at all. We're not interested in that. And what did I say at the time? And what everybody knew at the time was medical marijuana was part one. Well, actually, Charlotte's Web was part one. Medical marijuana was part two, and now recreational marijuana is part three. One can only imagine that, like, just outright trafficking would be part four, you know. But, you know, do we need to get to that part? Anyway, so we had a provision, and we have a provision in the Constitution right now that says nothing in the medical marijuana portion would do anything to make it legal to use marijuana privately for no medical reason whatsoever. And now that's going to get struck if this passes 60% plus one vote, and would say nothing in this amendment prohibits the legislature from enacting laws that are consistent with this amendment. So it's just like nothing, because, of course, there's never anything in the law that would prevent the legislature from enacting laws that are consistent with any portion of the Constitution. That's the dumbest non-sentence I've ever read in law. But it's to replace the one that actually had meaning, which is to make sure that everybody knew this wasn't about recreational marijuana. And lo and behold, it is about recreational marijuana, because we all knew this was coming. Anyway,
keep in mind, when it's in the Constitution, if things go bad, you can't. I saw some of the legislators here. You can't just tell your legislature, hey, fix it, because you can't legislate changes to a constitutional provision.
That's exactly. I think I read that one right there. But can I just say this one thing? There are so many people who say legislature for the individual legislator, that it warms my grammar Nazi heart when I hear the governor say them correctly. The person is a legislator. The body is the legislature. I'll just move on without dwelling on who falls into the which category. Okay, so one of the reasons that you don't want to do this is because
putting in policy on certain things, you know, really shouldn't be in the Constitution to begin with. So that's just, I think, the general framework that it's appropriate to look at.
Policy is not what you want in the Constitution. What you want is key basic principles in the Constitution. And unfortunately, with the amendment process in our Constitution, we have taken to putting policy in the Constitution, a terrible approach to constitutional revision. You put policy in the form of laws that can then be tinkered with or amended or changed or vetoed or brought back in a better form or whatever. I do think, though, and I was really thinking about this the other day. I was talking with some friends about the amendments, and you know, they kind of had made the comment that they hadn't been thinking about it in terms of you should always say no, and they thought that made sense. Most people, the way they think about amendments is, do you like this policy idea? Then vote yes. And if you don't like this policy idea, then vote no. Most people who vote, I think, my suspicion, my allegation, if you will, is they secretly kind of wish they could be legislators. They kind of secretly wish they could make the laws. I mean, who doesn't? You know, we all kind of think we'd be okay at that. And ballot measures are an opportunity to play legislator. Instead of ballot measures being an opportunity to think seriously about whether something is justified as a constitutional amendment, it's more of a, well, I like this guy and this girl and this guy and this girl, and I'm going to vote for that policy. And the people who bring forward ballot measures depend on that psychology, right, for getting them passed, and particularly this one, because this one is absolutely being sold as a lie. And I appreciate the governor coming in explaining all the ways in which it was true, because when I had analyzed this one before, I had analyzed it purely on the basis of the idea of personal consumption amounts of marijuana and not with respect to some of the particulars that he pointed out. And so I'm really grateful that he did point this out, because I very much agree with him and Joe Latipo and Chip Simmons, who talked about this on Friday. Anyway, back to the comments from the governor.
Also, I think important to ask, where do these things come from? How did this get on your ballot? It's an interesting question because it doesn't just come out of thin air. Was this driven by citizens throughout Florida who really wanted to write this? No, it was not. This amendment was written by the CEO of a major marijuana company. And that company has spent over $100 million trying to get this passed in the state of Florida. So that's why it's there. That's why you see mailers and commercials and all this stuff, all because of a number of weed companies, but really one that's done over $100 million, traded on the Canadian Stock Exchange to a publicly traded company.
So this is really the policy child of the existing medical marijuana industry in Florida. That's who's really behind this. And again, this one, you know, I don't actually know which, I could have looked it up, and I didn't, which company he was talking about. He didn't name them. But this one particular company that's put $100 million into this campaign, right?
If you're a publicly traded company, could you write an amendment and then flush $100+ million into it if it didn't mean that you would be able to monetize the hell out of it? It would be a violation of your fiduciary duty. If the CEO of the company just wrote an amendment to be good for Florida and it wasn't maximizing the company's profits, that'd be a violation of the fiduciary duty.
In other words, they wrote this amendment in order to make money. And they would have to, because otherwise they'd be violating their fiduciary duty to make profits for their shareholders, right?
The whole purpose of this amendment is to create and protect a certain business model at the expense of what is good policy for the people of Florida.
You say, I don't understand. I thought this was just about making personal amounts of marijuana available. Doesn't that mean there'd be all kinds of businesses pop up? Oh, no. Oh, no, you need to read the amendment. And I don't mean read the ballot language that's super misleading. I mean read the actual language. Go to Ballotpedia, click on the 24 amendments, click on number 3 and read it. It's not that long. And if you read it, what you'll discover is that it is all about creating a business model for the existing medical marijuana industry to sell private, you know, personal consumption amounts of marijuana. Medical marijuana treatment centers and other entities licensed and provided below are allowed to acquire. There you go. That's who's going to be involved. It's not about you growing it in your backyard. If you think that's going to be legal, that is not going to be legal under this amendment. If you think it's a whole bunch of farms are going to pop up and a whole bunch of outlets and sellers are going to pop, that's not what this amendment does. This amendment creates what DeSantis calls a marijuana cartel among the existing medical marijuana dispensaries as the future regular marijuana dispensaries.
You can possess and smoke it, but only if you buy it from these companies. You cannot grow your own under this amendment. Why not? If this is about freedom, you know, at least like your backyard and what you do, that would be the basic building block of freedom. They don't want you to do that because they want to force business relationship with their cartel. And what they do is they create in the Constitution of Florida a big weed cartel where these incumbent companies have these special privileges where you as a Floridian would not be able to grow your own. You would have to buy it from them. And so the rights that are in here are basically about a right to engage in commercial transactions with these companies who are sponsoring the amendment. That is not free market. That is not what freedom is.
And a lot of people, he says, and I think he's right about this, have been sold the line that this is about live and let live, that this is about, you know, if we're going to have alcohol, we might as well have marijuana. And this is about allowing your neighbors to make their choices and not involving yourself in their business. And if they want to get high in the comfort of their own home, that's their business and that you should stay out of it. That's kind of been the presentation. The reality is that this is creating a business monopoly that would take at least legislation to add to. It doesn't prohibit anybody else. It, you know, the legislature could come along and legalize personal growing or other outlets. It doesn't enshrine the monopoly, but it does only permit the medical marijuana allowed state dispensaries, right? So the ones who are already doing this, it is absolutely for their benefit. And oh, by the way, in case you were wondering how much for their benefit, total legal immunity for them for anything, a massive sweeping unspecified immunity for everything connected to this if this goes into the Constitution.
The ballot summary would not tell you this. You have to actually read this amendment. They are giving themselves, the weed companies, total immunity from any civil liability. So this is their whole business. If they're acting in accordance with the section, as it relates to the acquiring, cultivating, processing, manufacturing, selling, and distributing marijuana products to adults, shall not be subject to criminal or civil liability or sanctions under Florida law. There is no qualification to that. That is a total grant of immunity.
And he pointed out, like, you know, what if somebody's driving a truck and they're delivering marijuana and they do something bad in the process? Well, you could argue that that's covered by immunity. What if there's a pollutant in the marijuana that you purchased? Well, they could argue that that's covered by immunity. I mean, it's a sweeping grant of immunity to themselves under this amendment. It's just, I mean, on the one hand, you got to kind of admire the audacity, right? We're going to write an amendment that protects our businesses in the Constitution and, by the way, grants us immunity from any liability for anything that we do. That's, I mean, look, if you're going to ask for the moon, ask for the moon. And then tell people that, you know, you're just selling them a nightlight. Right?
Honestly, the chutzpah to write an amendment for yourself and put that in there, I mean, it takes a lot of gall to do that. Are you serious?
Yeah, they really are. So he goes on. There were some other things he said on Friday that I thought were quite good, but things like, you know, nobody's in prison for mere possession in the state of Florida. That's a lie that's being told. That the black market would actually increase because it did increase when you had similar, although not even as sweeping, amendments in Colorado and California. That this is worse than those. So if you like what's happening in California and Colorado, then, you know, this is even more than that, where you cannot go anywhere for 5 feet in the public without smelling marijuana and having to explain to your children what that smell is, or anybody else. But, you know, this, and his general tone takeaway was, is this going to be good for us? Is this going to be good for kids? And I don't think anybody can really make that argument, but we've talked about that a little bit before. I just thought it was fascinating because, you know, even though I had read a lot of material about this, I don't know that I had either picked up on it or read the whole amendment and gone back. And when I went, when he said all this, I'm like, does it really say that? And I went, oh, it really does say it. You know, it's exactly. I mean, he's a lawyer, right? He knows. So should you vote for it? Well, I was a pretty firm no before. I am an adamant no now. Like, I was, you know, mostly because I didn't want recreational marijuana in Florida. Now it's not just that. This is, again, a classic example of bait and switch, and don't put things in the Constitution unless you're absolutely sure that they are perfectly written and that they are absolutely necessary. And this is neither of those things. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Boat lovers, mark your calendars for the Marine Max Pensacola Boat and Yacht Show, setting sail Saturday, November 9th from 10 till 4. Marine Max will be showcasing the best brands in boating with exclusive boat show pricing and special incentives only at this event. Fuel your day with delicious chef-curated eats, complimentary beverages, local vendors, and live raffles at noon and 1. Don't miss the Marine Max Pensacola Boat and Yacht Show, Saturday, November 9th, 1901 Cypress Street, Pensacola.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Dawson, Dudley.
Call me Booger.
All right, Booger.
Good morning, 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, election season is apparently impacting the mental health of Americans. A new national survey conducted by a private mental health treatment system examined the amount of anxiety brought on by election season. They surveyed 2,000 people. They say 1 in 5 people reported that all of the barrage of election content is negatively affecting their mental health. Probably not a huge surprise there.
Yeah, I would just say that means they're normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even I, you know, this is my livelihood, and even I'm like, oh, God. Only
well, it's a lot.
Days.
There's so much. It's constant. Your phone going off with news alerts and text messages and spam. It's everything.
Make
it's
it
everywhere.
End.
Absolutely.
Let it be over. You know, yeah. And, of course, nothing ends in 8 days, and nothing ends on January 20th. You know, like, this just
all
on,
cycles
sir.
Into something else, yeah. Matthew Perry's mom says the actor came up to her and told her how much he loves her right before he died. Suzanne Morrison was on the Today Show, did an interview that will air today, and she said that the actor had also told her how happy he was to be with her at that time. Of course, he was found dead from the effects of ketamine. 1 year ago today, apparently.
Yeah. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John, have you been watching football over the weekend? Was whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Just whatever. But did you watch in the World Series?
No.
Oh, Friday.
I saw the replay.
Friday was amazing. Bottom of the 10th, Freddie Freeman up with the bases loaded, down by 2.
Now, the kind of at-bat that every kid that plays baseball dreams of one day having. You tell yourself, right, all right, bottom of the 10th, bases loaded, World Series, one-run game, Dodgers-Yankees. Reality for Freddie Freeman right here. Taylor the tying run, Edmund the winning run. Cortez delivers. Freeman hits a ball to right field.
Grand Slam, Freddie Freeman. Unbelievable. And so weirdly, if you're a Braves fan, you're like, yay, but why for them? Which is how I feel about Tommy Edman and the pitcher whose name all of a sudden I forget. So, and he got a home run in the second game as well, which they won. So they're up 2-0.